بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama-i kiram, hufaz of the Holy Quran, elders, brothers, and young friends in Islam. By the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have recited one of the shortest surahs in the Holy Quran, which is known as Suratul Kawthar. This is a surah which, mashallah, almost everyone reads in the salah, especially when we are in a hurry and we have to rush and go somewhere. We choose the shortest surahs that we can read. And so this is a surah that is often recited in salah. It is very, very short and concise as far as its size is concerned. It only comprises of three short verses, but it is an ocean of knowledge, and in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden many, many important messages for the ummah till the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the understanding of the Qur'an, to live by the Qur'an, to lead our lives on the teachings and the values espoused by the Holy Qur'an, and to become upholders of the message of the Qur'an and propagators of the message of the Qur'an. My respected elders and dear brothers, a short background to the surah. May Allah give us also tawfiq to think of the meanings of this when we read the surah in our salah. Because the only way to appreciate the messages that are in the Quran is to ponder and think over it. So the idea of speaking about this short surah today is not just to increase our information or knowledge, but it is also for us to ponder and think about the meaning. Whenever we read the surah, we should try and focus on the meaning and what messages are in it for us, and we will find that it will be of great benefit to us and spiritually very uplifting and enlightening, inshaAllah. A brief background to the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with physical offspring and children. According to the narrations of history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with four daughters and four sons. But by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom and knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best that why He did not give a long lifespan to the male offspring of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The female offspring, Allah Ta'ala gave them a healthy long life, and they had children, they had their own offspring. And in fact, the lineage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is linked to his female offspring. This is an exceptional case, that normally the lineage of a person is linked through his male offspring. But in the case of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that his lineage and family is linked through his female offspring. And even today there are thousands of people all over the world who are known as the Sayyids or the Sadat, people who have a line of their family lineage going right back to Hazrat Hassan or Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and in that way they are the Sayyids. Many, many people, alhamdulillah, have this honor that they have the lineage that links them to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But nevertheless, dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined in His infinite wisdom and knowledge that the male offspring of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not survive for a long time in this world. Three sons he had from his wife, Hazrat Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the other son, Sayyidina Ibrahim, was from Hazrat Maria Qibtiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, when these male offspring of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed on, they passed away, it gave the disbelievers of Makkah an opportunity, one more opportunity, to mock Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to jeer him, and to create despair with regards to the future of his mission and with regards to the future of Deenul Islam. And they went around rejoicing on the sorrow of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a lowly attribute in any human being to rejoice on the sorrow of someone. When somebody is in hardship and difficulty, another person rejoices on that person's hardship and difficulty. This is really below the dignity of a human being, and this does not behove an insan and human being to behave in this way. And these people scraped the bottom of the barrel as far as morality was concerned, that they actually rejoiced in the sorrow and grief of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To try to add, as it is, a person has lost a son, a child, it is a moment of sorrow and grief. To lose a child, to lose an offspring, creates pain and grief in the heart of the parent. And to add, like they say, fuel to the fire, they, on this very occasion, or they say to rub salt in the wound, this was the occasion they chose to mock Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more, and to add to his sadness and grief, that, well, you see, Muhammad's children, his sons have died, so there will be nobody to carry his name. And if there will be no one to carry his name, there will be nobody to carry his mission. And so this Islam, it will die off, and it is just restricted to the time that he is around. The day he is gone, the world will be rid of this, ma'azallah, and there will be no Islam anymore, and his mission will come to an end. What they did not realize was that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given physical offspring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him spiritual offspring by the thousands, by the millions, and now, alhamdulillah, by the billions. Every ummati is a spiritual offspring of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the spiritual offspring of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried his message from generation to generation in such a way that 1400 years have gone past, thousands of kilometers away in the city of Durban or any remote part of the world, you will find readers of the Kalima La Ilaha Illallah and believers in the message of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If only those people were to be given even 5 minutes of life today, those who are mocking and predicting the termination of Islam and the cessation and the closing down of this deen and this religion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they had even 5 minutes to see the large multitudes of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam across the length and breadth of this globe, in every part of the world, in every nook and cranny of the world, if they had to see this, they would have been shocked out of their wits that what we had taught and what has actually happened. My dear brothers, it was at that time of that grief and sorrow that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was experiencing. And not so much for the demise of his child, but more his fikr and concern was that these people are saying my mission will come to an end. My work will come to an end. He loved his mission. He loved his work to such an extent that he told the kuffar of Makkah at that time, put the sun in my right hand, put the moon in my left hand, do whatever you want to make me stop my work. There is no force on earth that will stop me from doing my work. It was his grief for his mission, it was his sorrow for his mission that was more hurtful to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the loss of a child. My dear brothers, it is also a moment of reflection for us, that when we find that people saying all kinds of things about Islam and Muslims, this is a legacy that we have inherited from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a thing that will happen, that has happened, that will happen, and that is happening, and that will continue to happen, and it must not worry us unduly. Labeling, giving all kinds of bad names, making all kinds of predictions of doom, this is the legacy that we have inherited. But whatever was the response of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, that must be the response of his followers till the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, when they started saying all these kind of hurtful things, and Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to this fact in the Holy Quran, that وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Most certainly, most definitely, لَام تَعْكِيد, most certainly, most definitely, with emphasis Allah Ta'ala is saying, that you will hear from the people of the book very, very hurtful things. From the disbelievers, you will hear many, many hurtful things. We have to accept and we have to expect to hear these type of things. This is what Allah Rabbul Izzat has informed us in the Holy Quran. It is not something to be as surprised about. When we see those screaming headlines, and when we see those damning media reports, and we see all those things that are being said about us that is absolutely untrue, that is baseless, that has got no foundation whatsoever. We have to reflect on these ayat of the Quran and think back, yes, our Allah, our Rabb has told us that this will happen, and we have to go through all of this. This is part and parcel of the price that we have to pay for being believers and mu'mineen. So my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed us. But then the answer to that, Allah ta'ala says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. If you have sabr and you have taqwa, you go through this with patience and fortitude. Alhamdulillah, Jamiatul Ulama has released a statement to the Muslim community on this occasion of these difficult times that we are going through. Do not allow yourself to become provoked. Don't allow people to provoke you into becoming reactionary to whatever is going on. Adopt sabr. The Quran is telling us, adopt sabr. Have patience. Have tolerance. Overlook these type of things. How many ayat of the Quran, there isn't time to go into the detail. We are being reminded about this lesson all the time in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at another place in the Quran, all these conspiracies that are going on, no doubt, my dear brothers, 24 hours out of 24 hours, there are people who have dedicated their wealth and their lives to conspire, to cause harm to the deen of Islam, to the Muslim ummah. This is their mission, this is their work. Allah has spoken about it in the Holy Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us the solution there and there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. If you adopt sabr and you adopt taqwa, piety and righteousness, you do your work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do His work. Today, my dear brothers, we don't want to adopt the sabr. We don't want to adopt the taqwa. And then we feel that we must find the solution to the problem. Allah is giving us the solution. Do our part and leave Allah Ta'ala to do His part. What is the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا. They're planning, they're strategizing, all their scheming, all their plotting will not harm you in any way. لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا. Even to a slightest extent, their plans will fall flat on their own faces. Their plans will go and fly back into their own faces. They will not be able to harm you in any way. My dear brothers, when these hurtful things were said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew his attention away from those things. If we focus too much on these things, we lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. We need to focus on what is our mission. We have our own agenda to follow. We must not allow people to set our agenda for us. We must have our own agenda that we must follow. And this is the agenda that is being set for us by Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in this ayat that inna a'tainakal kawthar. When they were saying all these hurtful things to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew his attention away from these hurtful things. Because if you're only going to focus on that, then we're going to become reactionary. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew his attention away from that. And where did he draw his attention to? He drew his attention to himself. In other words, to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah Rabbul Izzat drew his attention of his Rasul to himself. Inna, us, verily we. So immediately the attention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That focus on your Rabb, focus on your Creator, focus on His sifat, focus on His attributes, focus on His might and power. Who are these people? They are not even the wing of a mosquito in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have no power whatsoever. The power lies with Allah. The might lies with Allah. The strength lies with Allah. Everything is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna, focus yourself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a poor person focuses himself in the times of difficulty and hardship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find immediate consolation. He will find immediate relief. He will find immediate solace in his problem. Subhanallah. So we find here that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately his attention is drawn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many, many other places in the Quran, my dear brothers, when hurtful things were said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew his attention away towards something else. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Read tasbih, glorify your Rabb, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus your attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this could mean also in another sense, that become loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reaffirm your faith in Allah. Reaffirm your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strengthen your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do those type of things, the positive things. Link yourself up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the easiest way to link oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we hear repeatedly by our respected elders and ulama, that link yourself up with a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you can be linked up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who has linked himself up, link yourself with that person, it becomes a strong chain, and in that way you will link yourself up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala drew the attention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this way. That focus and draw your attention towards, turn your attention towards us. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave basharat and glad tidings. Because this is the way of Allah. That whenever there is some hardship, whenever there is some difficulty, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. After every hardship Allah brings ease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave glad tidings and basharat after that also. That آتَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. We have granted you, O our Rasul, Al-Kawthar. Think of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn your attention towards the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this Allah says that we have granted you Kawthar? What is this Al-Kawthar? There are various interpretations according to the ulama, the mufassireen. Some ulama have written there are up to 26 different interpretations of the word Al-Kawthar. Some said it refers to the Holy Quran, some says it refers to the Sunnah, some says it refers to Hikmah, some says it refers to understanding of Islam, some say it refers to Hidayat, some say it refers to abundance, an abundance of good. This is a very general meaning. And of course, it also refers to the Kawthar, which Nabi Kareem himself has mentioned, that is the pond that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him on the day of Qiyamah, the pond of Kawthar, or what is known as Hawd al-Kawthar. So if you have to analyze it, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to two things when we're in difficulties and hardships. That first of all, turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, turn your attention to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that await you in the Akhirah. Think of the bounties of the mu'min in the Akhirah, and all the hardships of the world will just dwindle and disappear and vanish into thin air. The most difficult situation in the world will become nothing in front of a person who focuses on the ni'mats and blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the people of Iman in the Akhirah. That is why in one hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that a person who suffered the most in this world, The worst type of suffering or torture that we could imagine any person could undergo in this world. From the day he was born till the day he died, he didn't see one good moment, he didn't see one happy moment. It was just a miserable existence. That take that person, and it is said that if he will be taken for 1 second and put into Jannah and taken out, that 1 second in Jannah will make him forget any moment of suffering, the whole life of suffering he will forget because of that one single moment, that second that he spent in Jannah. It will take all the worries and the suffering and misery of the world away from him like it never existed. On the other hand, a person who enjoyed, like they say, was born with a golden spoon in his mouth. He had the blessings of Allah on him from the day he was born till the day he died. Not a sad moment he experienced throughout his existence. Like Fir'aun didn't have a headache for 400 years of his life. He enjoyed the most excellent health that could be imagined. But this person was disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will be dipped into the fire of Jahannam for 1 second. There are hundreds of years of enjoyment that he had in the world, he will forget like he never saw any enjoyment in his life. So my dear brothers, the focus is this. Focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on the blessings of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focusing the attention of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Al-Kawthar, the well or the pond of Kawthar. What is the pond of Kawthar? Subhanallah. It is beyond the imagination of the human mind. We can never compare the things of the Akhirah to anything of dunya. It is just to give us a vague idea of how it will be. Some similarities are struck. وَأُتُوبِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. Just to give us a very slight understanding. Otherwise the things of Akhirat are beyond the comprehension of the human mind. مَا لَا أَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ بِبَعْلِ رَجُلْ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The mind can never conceive. The eyes have never seen. The ears have never heard. These are the bounties Allah Ta'ala has prepared in the hereafter for the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that we will grant you, O Rasul, the pond of Kawthar. And what will be the pond of Kawthar? My dear brothers, a very brief glimpse of it. It will be very large in size, thousands of kilometers in size. The cups from which people will drink will be more abundant than the stars in the sky. That is an indication of the size of the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this is a hidden message of consolation for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are grieving over the loss of one child. Allah Ta'ala is giving you the glad tidings. There will be billions of people in your ummah who will be your followers and who will drink from your pond. Why are you grieving, O my beloved Rasul? That will be the pond of Kawthar. The water or the drink or the liquid that will be given from the pond of Kawthar will be such that it is said it will be whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, and colder than ice. And a person will be given this water to drink. The moment a person takes a gulp or a sip of this Kawthar water, or the drink of Kawthar, we must call, if we're calling it water, we might misunderstand the value or the importance of it. This drink of Kawthar will be such that from head to toe a person will be drenched with that Kawthar with one gulp. Such will be the power Allah has kept in this water or in this drink of Kawthar that for the rest of his existence a person will never ever experience thirst. From that moment onwards he will never know what is thirst. Till the rest, forever and ever in his existence in the Akhirah. In Jannat, a person won't be drinking because he's thirsty. It will just be to enjoy that he is drinking. And the beauty of it all, my dear brothers, is the water of Kawthar will be served by none other than Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a great honor it will be for this ummah that every ummati will be given to drink from the mubarak hands of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every person will have the opportunity of meeting and seeing his Rasul face to face and to receive that gift of Kawthar from his Mubarak hands. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all this in such a way that Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is happy with us and with a smiling and happy countenance, that he is happy and proud of us as his Ummah He gives this, gives us this, this kosar drink to drink, my dear brothers. There's also a warning in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to certain unfortunate people. They will also stand in the queue. They'll also want to drink from the water of Kawthar, or the pond of Kawthar. But just as they're about to come forward, the angels will drive them away and say, Suhkan, Suhkan, go away you people. They will chase them away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will ask, what is happening? Why are you chasing these people away? These are my ummah. These are my followers. They will say, O Rasul of Allah, you do not know what they did to your deen after you left this world. They tampered with your deen. They tried to change with your deen. They tried to bring innovations into your deen. They didn't want to follow the deen. They didn't want to follow the deen. They wanted the deen to follow them. They wanted to change the deen to suit them. They didn't want to make themselves suit the deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be very upset, and he will actually drive them away and chase them away. My dear brothers, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives two instructions to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As now gratitude for these blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, do two things. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ. Perform and offer salah, wanhar, and do the sacrifice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a great blessing, in response, as a form of gratitude and shukriya, a person offers salah. This salah, my dear brothers, is twofold. One is, it is a means of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our whole body. The whole body is enjoying the blessings of Allah day and night. So with the whole body and heart and soul, a person is offering gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is expressing his gratitude and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a form of salah. There can be no higher means of expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than salah. Number two, the salah itself helps to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah said, turn your attention to Allah, connect yourself with Allah. There can be no better way of linking and connecting oneself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than salah. That is why whenever the slightest problem overtook Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would immediately, kana idha hazabahu amrun badara ila salah. The slightest difficulty or hardship or problem came upon him, immediately he would turn to salah, and through salah he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease and for relief and for assistance and aid, and it would be forthcoming. This is the program that has been given to us, my dear brothers, in Suratul Kawthar. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the surah and to put this program into action. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.